Let's take our Bibles together to the Gospel of John. John chapter 15 is where we have arrived in our study of this book of the Word of God, letting the Lord speak to us through what He said. Jesus is speaking here in John 15, and we've come to verse 18 together. John chapter 15 and verse 18. We'll read down through verse 25 and then pray together. John chapter 15, verse 18, Jesus says, "If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause." Now this text goes from the love of God to the hatred of the world. And what Jesus tells his disciples here, he tells them about how much hate is in the world. If you remember the verse 17, it ends with that ye love one another. And then, of course, he goes into verse 18, if the world hate you. But notice how many times the word love occurs before he goes through all how many times the word hate occurs. He mentions the word love in verse 17. Look up verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this. You see that? Then verse 12, this is my command, that ye love one another as I have loved you. You see that? Look at verse number 10. He says, if ye keep my commandments and abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Look at verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Over and over, nine times, Jesus talks to them about the love of God, the love of the Father, the love that's in Jesus Christ, the love that Christ has for us, the love that we should have one for another. And then he moves from that discussion of love to a discussion of hatred. And of course, the one that's hating here, if you look in verse number 18, if the world hate you, over and over, we read that word hate over and over and over again in the verse that we read this morning. The world is filled with hate. The world was filled with hate. It's still filled with hate. And love is not found in the world. Love is found in God. And you know, we live in a day where people accuse Christian people of being the ones that are filled with hate. And they talk about hate speech. Let me tell you something. There's something a whole lot worse than hate speech, and that's hate actions. That's what hate does. Not just hateful things people say, but the things that hate causes people to do. And hate is not something that's rooted in Christianity. Hate is something that's rooted in the world. That there's never been a bigger group of haters in the universe than the people that are in the world. Christians aren't the haters. You say, well, you know, you're against that and against it. We're against everything God's against. And I mean, if you're not that, you're not like God. But we love people out there in the world. We love people that have messed up their lives. We love people that are all in their sin and just depraved. We want them to be saved. We try to take everybody the gospel. We don't stop with anybody. It doesn't matter who they are, what they've done, they're back. We give everybody the gospel because we don't want anybody to go to hell. And that's really the definition of love. If you're trying to keep somebody out of hell, you're trying to love them. You're trying to love them for all eternity so they don't incur the judgment of God. All these people talking about hate. I tell you what, the Bible says that the world hates Jesus Christ. Now look at that. Now that's not just something in the past tense. That's something also in the present tense. Look at verse 18. The Bible says, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. the hatred of the world for Jesus Christ. Of course, you can see that because they put him on a cross. But they did a whole lot more than that to him. Because they despised him. They hated him. You know, this world talks about hate. You know, Christians hate people because we hate sin. We do hate sin. We hate things that destroys people's lives and send them to hell. We hate that. We hate that. And if you don't hate something in this world, if you don't hate wickedness, there's something wrong with you. But, the biggest haters are in the world. You watch that. You know, this world calls for tolerance, and yet they're the most intolerant people in the world. They call for everybody to love them and accept their wickedness. But if you don't agree with them, watch the vile hatred that comes out of there. I'd never recommend you to go to some of these parades and some of these things that they hold up. You know, it's filled with hatred. Just walk out there and just hold a scripture sign and see the hatred. If you held a Budweiser sign or you did something immoral, they wouldn't hate you. If you just hold a sign that said, "For the wages of sin is death." But just do that among them and watch the hatred that comes out. You know, the world hates anybody that has anything to do with Jesus Christ or the truth. Jesus said that. It hated me before it hated you. And the reason being is that this world hates God. Would you look at verse 21? Jesus said, "But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me." And keep reading verse 23. I'm sorry. He says, "He that hateth me hateth my Father also." Verse 24, end of the verse. "But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father." Look at chapter 16, verse 3. He says, "And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me." Here's the thing. They don't, you know, people hate God because they don't know God. You know, you have to know God to be able to love, because love is something rooted in God. That's why Jesus talks about love that's in God before he talks about the hatred that's in the world. If you want love in your life, you've got to get to God. Because if you don't know God, you can't love anybody. And the reason that the world is so filled with hate is because they don't know God. And they hated Jesus Christ because they hated the Father. They hated Jesus Christ because there's a hatred of God. All this vitriol that we see, it's all on the internet, and people are just vile in their words. It's rooted because there's a hatred there, because the love of God has never been a shed abroad in their hearts, and they're angry, and you see the anger everywhere. Why do people do the violent, wicked things they do? Because they don't know God. You know, Christians have never going around killing people. Not Bible-believing Christians. They've never done that. Our lives haven't been filled with that kind of hatred. But the world is filled with hatred. And they hate Jesus Christ because they hate God. Because they don't know God. And because they don't know God, they hate God and they hate Jesus Christ. And look at verse 25. He says in John 15, 25, he says, "But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me," look at it now, "without a cause." The world hates Jesus Christ. Why? They hate Jesus Christ because they hate God. The world hates Jesus Christ. Why? Well, they hate him really without a cause. They don't have a good reason. They don't have a good reason. They hate him without a cause. That's listed over there in Psalm chapter 35, verse 19, and Psalm 69, verse 4. And of course, David was hated. You remember how David was hated without reason? David never did anything but good to Saul, did he? And Saul hated him. I mean, he threw a javelin. He tried to kill him multiple occasions. And what did David ever do to Saul? He got him out of jam after jam. He won victories for him. He killed the giant for him. He defeated all those enemies, the Philistines, that were trying to kill Saul. He did all these great things for Saul. He even got a harp out, and he would play that music when Saul was full of the devil. I said he played that music when Saul was full of the devil, and Saul would feel better about himself. David never did anything but good to Saul. He never went behind his back. He never runned him down. He never tried to steal the kingdom from him. He was always doing what was best for the one that hated him. Saul hated David without a cause. And that's the same way with Jesus Christ. What did Jesus Christ ever do to the world for them to hate him so? Why did they whip him? Why did they nail him to a cross? Why did they spit in his face? What did he ever do to him but heal their sick? What did he ever do to them but show them the truth and how they could have eternal life? Well, what did he do to them except meet all their needs and many times fed their hungry bellies and rose people from the dead and touched blinded eyes? What did he ever do to them? How did he ever harm them? What type of man was he that caused them to be so insecure that they lashed out and wanted to kill him? The same thing. You know what Christian people have done to the world for the world to hate Bible-believing Christians? You know what we've done? We've just kept the judgment of God off of people. We've kept, you know, God's people keep the judgment of God off of this world. That's all we've ever done. God's people, God's servants, they've only done good to this world. We've not done evil, but they hate us. Why? They hate us without a cause, just like they hated Jesus Christ without a cause. Well, what? Okay, they hated him. They really didn't have a cause. They hated him because they hated God. But let's look something else here. The only thing I can find, there's one thing Jesus says here, is a root of their hatred. Would you look at verse 22? Jesus says, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He said the same thing sort of in verse 24. If I had not done among them the works that none of the men did, they had not had sin. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. Jesus said this, you know, the reason that they're so worked up is because of their sin. You know, if you take a cloak, this is not a cloak. A cloak is much bigger than my jacket. But if you take a cloak, it'd be big enough to hide stuff. You'd put it on, you'd hide. People can hide, you know, you get real big clothes to hide. Anyway, you take a cloak to hide stuff. And Jesus said, when I came to them, I spoke to them. And what happened was, I took away their cloak. And they were exposed for being the sinful people that they were. In other words, Jesus Christ, every time he talked to somebody, talked to them about their sin. Now, he wasn't ugly. He's trying to help them. He's trying to redeem them. He's trying to save them. Jesus Christ came to save us from our sins, is what the Bible said. Because sin's what's killing you. Sin's what's destroying our world. Sin's what's destroying young mothers and marriages and little children. Sin's what's destroying our world. Sin brings heartache and misery and pain and eternal damnation in people's lives. And so Jesus came to deal with the sin problem. So when he talked to Nicodemus, what did he say, Nicodemus? He talked to Nicodemus about that serpent up in the wilderness from all those people that murmured in their sin. He talked to Nicodemus about evil. And he said, everyone that doeth evil, listen, hateth the light. But, oh, if you love the light, you'll come to the light. Jesus was the light. He's telling Nicodemus he's evil. Jesus looked at that woman at the well. And what did he say to her? He said, you want everlasting life? She said, I sure do. He said, well, you need to go call your husband. Well, now, why did he say that? Why didn't he take that woman and say, well, let's just get down here and pray? Because this woman had a problem. Her problem was sin. And Jesus was trying to cleanse her life from sin. He dealt with her sin. How about the man at the pool? In the next chapter of John, we preached through all this already. The man at the pool, he had been that way for all those 30-some years. And Jesus healed him. And then Jesus went to him and he said, sin no more, lest a worse thing happen to thee. He dealt with that man about his sin. How about the woman taken in adultery? You said, well, he didn't deal with her sin. Oh, he sure did. He got finished with saying, no man's condemned thee. And he looked at her and he said, neither do I condemn thee. Why? Because Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world. He came that the world might be saved, but they might be saved from their sin. But he looked at that woman taking an adultery and he said, go and sin no more. He told her about her sin. And he said, you better quit walking in darkness. You better follow me and not walk in darkness. So you know what happens when you deal with people in their sin? They get angry. You know, people used to go to church to get help for their families and help for their lives and help for their sins that they had. But now people go to church to feel better about their sins and feel better about their problems and feel better about the things that are in their lives. You know, when Jesus really gets honest with you, he'll talk to you about your sin. You know what's true this morning about every person? And everybody here, look, you all look nice, you look decent. But you know what we all are? We're all a bunch of sinners. That's what we all are. If you boil all of us down, amen, from the youngest child back in the children's ministry to these teenagers here this morning, to the middle age, to the young couples, to the oldest adult in this building this morning, we are a bunch of sinners. And look, you've got one of two options. You can either get mad and hateful and angry and hate God for Him trying to help you with your sin, or you can let Him cure your problem. Jesus said, I took away their cloak. And I did things that none other man did. You know Elijah? Elijah called fire down from heaven. He never cured somebody that had been born blind, did he? Nobody. What about Elisha? Look, Elijah never did the things that Jesus Christ did. None other man did that. I think maybe they may have hated him for that reason too. The high priest and all the rulers and the Roman governors, they couldn't do what Jesus. You know what happens to some people when somebody else does something better than you or something you can't do? You get envious of that and then you start hating them. Oh, they hated him because of what he did. They hated him because he pointed out their sin. And the best friend you've got in the world that'll tell you about your sin and tell you to get to Jesus Christ. And there's not a sin in this building that Jesus Christ can't wash away and purify. But you got to be honest about it. And you got to bring it to God and you got to want it gone. That's why we sang this morning, whiter than the snow, wash me in the blood of the Lamb. I need that cleansing. And don't look around at everybody else for the cleansing they need. Look in your own life. What cleansing do you need? Oh, we got a world that hates anybody that points out their sin. The world hated Jesus Christ because he pointed out their sin. I want to ask you a question. If somebody hated your daughter, I mean hated them, or your son, or your family, what kind of relationship would you have with them? Is anybody here best buddies with somebody that hates your family? No. I tell you what, if somebody hates my wife and hates my children and hates my mom and dad, I'm not going to have a real cozy relationship with them. I won't appreciate that. Matter of fact, some people today, that they get put out with somebody that just doesn't say everything right to the people that they love. Are you with me? I mean, if you don't treat the people that I love with respect, and that I'm going to get back at you, I don't have anything to do with you, or I'm going to talk bad about you. You know what, this world hates Jesus Christ. So why do saved people have a love affair going on with the world that hates the one that died for you? Amen. I tell you what, I love Jesus Christ. Amen. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. And every time they use his name as a curse word, it frustrates me. It makes me mad. It makes me upset. You know why? Because I love him. Right. Why would I want to cozy up to a world that hates the one that did for me what nobody else could do? You know what that Bible says? That same author that wrote this, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote 1 John 2:15. You know what he said? He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in. Why would you love a world that hates your Savior? Would you think about that just a moment? Why would you love somebody, one of your neighbors, that hated your child and wanted to destroy your child? Would you be best friends with that individual? Of course you wouldn't. Why do people that name the name of Christ have this love relationship with the world and the things that... The world hates Jesus. Why would I have any good relationship with the world? Doesn't make any sense, does it? You know, the Bible said this to a good man, actually. Would you find way back in 2 Chronicles? 2 Chronicles chapter 19, would you get that? And with your other hand, would you get James chapter 4? This is so serious, brethren. Because, I mean, this world hates Jesus Christ. Why? Why should I be a friend to those that hate my Lord? Why should I be a friend to those that hate God? Here's a man in the Old Testament in 2 Chronicles 19. He did right in the sight of the Lord. But he had a problem. He had a problem. He started helping people and loving people that hated God. Jehoshaphat is his name, King Jehoshaphat of Judah, great king. He did a lot of great things. But I want you to notice what God says about him. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 1, "And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat," look at your Bible, "shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord." He said, why are you helping people that hate God? Why are you loving people that hate God? I don't understand why people that say they're saved and belong to Jesus Christ will follow Hollywood stars that hate Jesus Christ. That makes no sense. Why would your favorite singer be somebody that was so vile that their hatred just spews out over Bible-believing Christianity? Why would somebody love those kind of people? Why would somebody follow those people? Why would you follow somebody that hates God? Why would you be close to somebody that hates the Bible? You say, well, I don't hate the Bible. Yeah, but if you love those that hate the Lord, you're in danger like Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was a great king. But he had good relationships with people that hated his God. You better think about that. You better think about what that'll do to your heart and your life. James chapter 4, the Bible says this. James chapter 4. The Bible says in verse 4, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Well, now why does God say it that way? Because the world hates Jesus. Why am I going to be a help or a friend or close with people that hate righteousness and hate God and hate my Bible and hate my family? Well, I just want everybody to like me. They hate your family. They hate the truth. Jesus said, they hate me and they're going to hate you. Let me ask you a question. Are you a friend of Jesus or a friend of the world? Why would you love and fellowship with somebody that doesn't have your same values? You know how bad the world hated Jesus Christ? They assassinated his character. Don't you love people that run your name down falsely and lie about you and accuse you? Don't you love those kind of people? Of course you don't. What'd they say about Jesus Christ? They said, oh, he's a wine bibber. Yeah, he's a drunk. You do know they called Jesus a drunk. What'd they say about Jesus Christ? They say he's a gluttonous man. He's a gluttonous man, that's what he is. Look at what the Bible, you know what they said about Jesus Christ? They said he has a devil. He's devil possessed. They said Jesus, they hated him so bad, they lied about him and said he was full of the devil. They said he was a madman. They said he had lost his mind. They hated him so bad, you know what they did the first time he got up to preach? Listen now. The first time Jesus got up to preach, you know what they did? They got so mad, they grabbed him and tried to run him and throw him off a cliff. Just for preaching. First time he ever got up to preach in Nazareth. Throw him over the cliff. Get rid of him. We hate him. We can't stand him. What hatred. Am I going to be friends with those kind of people? Am I those people that took up stones to stone Jesus Christ because he loved them and told them the truth? Am I going to be in that crowd? Strange. Strange for a Christian that would want to have anything to do with a world that hated God. All these, I'm going to start calling them alphabet people because I'm tired of going through the letters. Y'all with me? The alphabet people. They hate God. You say, well, I just want to be a Christian. Well, be a Christian and don't be friends with people that hate God and hate your family. It doesn't make any sense. You can pray for them. You can give them the gospel. But you don't get along with people that hate Jesus Christ. You don't love those people. You don't be accepted by those people. You don't have good relationships with those people. Why? They hate your family. They hate Jesus Christ. What should I have to do? Am I going to be a friend of that world? And the Bible says not just a friend of the people in the world. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. A lot of Christians, their lives didn't look any different than the lives of those who aren't saved. And what you're really doing, you're being a friend of a system that hates God. Oh, how terrible. The world hates Jesus Christ. The world hated God. But look what else. In our text, he says in John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 8, they hate somebody else. John 15, the Bible says in verse 18, if the world hate you, you see that? The world hate you. Verse 19, if you were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Let me ask you, who hates you? Yeah, but I'm talking practically in your life. You say, well, man, that person I work with hates me because, you know, I got there. No, no. Who in the world hates your guts because you love Jesus Christ? And I'll tell you this. According to Jesus Christ, if the world doesn't hate you, you're probably not following him very much. You're probably not committed to him very much. The world despises Jesus and they'll despise any Bible-believing Christian. And so a lot of Christians say, well, I don't want to go too far with this religious thing. I don't want to go too far with the Bible. I don't want to go too far with the truth because it might cost me. People might hate me. Yeah, like your Savior. I don't think there's probably not enough evidence in most people's lives to convict them of being a Christian. If somebody looked at their lives and they had to guess, is this person a Christian or they like Jesus Christ? They wouldn't even come up with an affirmative answer. Well, I don't know. They're like everybody else. Jesus said the world's going to hate you. The world hates God. The world hates Jesus Christ. And the world hates you if you're committed to Jesus. They hate you. But you know, you're in good company. If they hate the Lord, you're in great company. You say, well, I don't like to be hated. Hey, somebody's going to hate you. People might as well hate you for doing right. People might as well hate you for the stand you take with the truth. It's like America, you know. We've had politicians say, well, if we get all the world to like us, all the world's never going to like anybody. Not going to happen. I'd rather be right. I'd rather stand with the truth. I'd rather stand with Jesus Christ. And if the world hates me, I know it hated him before it hated me. And I am not greater than my Lord. That's what he said in verse 19. Or that's what he said in verse 20. He said, the servant is not greater than the Lord. If they've hated, if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. I think sometimes, church, if we're not careful, we'll live our lives trying to get out of persecution. We'll live our lives trying to make everything easy. And it's not easy to be a Christian. It's persecution when you do right. You say, preacher, I don't want to hear that. Well, that's true. You can either stand with the enemy or you can stand with God. And Jesus said, they're going to persecute you. He said, if they've kept my saying, they'll keep yours also. Well, how much did they keep his saying? Not very much. Yeah, you ever get discouraged because the world won't listen to you? Or people you try to minister to or talk to won't listen to you? Hey, well, they didn't listen to Jesus. And we're not greater speakers. We're not greater people than Jesus Christ. How many did he have at the cross when he was hanging there? He just had a few. Even after the resurrection, you'd think when somebody showed themselves that they rose from the dead, everybody would believe. There were only 120 people in the upper room. Well, I just want people to like me and to accept me. It ain't going to happen unless you compromise and are a part of the crowd that hates Jesus Christ. The world hates you. You know, some people can't get over that. Well, I want everybody to like me. I don't want everybody to like me. And I know I don't have a problem with that, Billy. But why would you want the devil to like you? Why would you want the devil? Who likes you? Does the world like you or does the devil like you? Does Jesus like you or does the crowd out there that has nothing to do with the Bible? Let me ask you, why would you have such a close relationship with somebody that never read the Bible, that doesn't believe the Bible, that never prays to your God, that doesn't live the lifestyle that Bible says? Why would you have such a close relationship with those people? Doesn't make any sense. And the church, listen, the church and the influence of the church has been destroyed because people that name Jesus' name have been having love affairs with people in the world. And so nobody knows the difference. Nobody knows the difference between a Christian and somebody that loves Jesus and somebody that hates Jesus. I want it to go down that I love the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I want. And if the world hates me, you take the world and you give me Jesus. All the joys out there in the world are but a name. But His love abideth ever through eternal years the same. Jesus loving you is worth the world hating you. Jesus Christ being your friend is worth you losing the friendship of the world. I don't want to go out with Ahab. Jehoshaphat went out with Ahab. You know who Ahab married to? Jezebel. You know, when you marry a lost person or when you're friends with a lost person, it's like you're in cahoots with the devil's family. Why would you want the devil to be your mother-in-law or your father-in-law? I wouldn't want to be. What kind of family is that? Being related to a bunch of people that hate God? God, deliver me. I'd rather be on an island by myself loving Jesus Christ than snuggled up with a bunch of people that hate God. Ahab, man, I wouldn't want to be 5 miles from Jezebel's house. And here's Jehoshaphat. Well, I love God. Well, what are you doing over at Ahab and Jezebel's house with all the false gods and all the wickedness in there? And you belong to the Lord. You know what God's prophet said to him? God's mad at you, boy. He's mad at you. You know what happened to Jehoshaphat's life? God broke his ships. He messed up his navy. He messed up everything he's trying to do. We just need to say, hey, I need to make a decision. What is my crowd? What is my family? Where do I belong? Do I belong with people that love Jesus Christ and are going to live for Jesus? Or do I belong over here with people that hate God and live in the world and love the world? Which crowd is mine? I tell you what, I've decided to follow Jesus and there's no turning back. I love Him. The world never did a thing for me. But Jesus Christ did a whole lot for me. Amen. And He has merited my love. He's earned my love and earned my trust. Why would I have any relationships with people that hate God? Well, what else does Jesus say to them? He says, this world's going to hate you. And He says in verse 21, would you look at it in John 15, 21? Why are they going to hate you? Why are they going to hate me if we love the Lord? Verse 21, but all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake. It's not that they hate you so much. Again, they just hate God. They hate Jesus. They hate the truth. He says, for my name's sake. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Hey, we shouldn't just throw that name of God around. We need to put that name of Jesus out. I think it's a tragedy. They stand up in inauguration sometime and they come up to the podium in the Capitol and somebody will say a prayer and they'll say a prayer in the name of the architect of the universe or the God out there, the creator. How about Jesus, you see? Amen. You can say God. You can say every word you want to say to talk about deity. But when you talk about Jesus, people get nervous. People get nervous. And that's what I appreciate. I don't like all of his religious lifestyle, but that's what I appreciated about Franklin Graham. He got up at that inauguration, prayed in Jesus' name. I'm not going to pray in the name of Allah and every other god. Well, we pray in the name of the God that all people respect. All hogwash. Talk to people about Jesus. And when you talk to them about Jesus, watch the reaction. There are preachers like that Jewish person out there that went to, what's his name, church, Olstein's church. He said, he was Jewish. He said, I go out there to that church because he never talks about Jesus. Well, if you just talk about God, it could be a Muslim God. It could be a Buddhist God. It could be, you talk about Jesus, you see. He says, they'll hate you for my name's sake. Let's spread the name of Jesus. You know what they said? They said that they're worthy. They were worthy, that they were counted worthy to suffer for His name's sake. The name of Jesus deserves all of us to put our lives on the line for his name. And Jesus said, don't be offended when people start hating you. Look at chapter 16, verse 1. Now look, if people hate you because you're a jerk, that's one thing. But we're talking about people that hate you because you love Jesus Christ. Because you're trying to serve the Lord. If people hate you because you're reading your Bible, you're trying to live right, hey, just shout. Start running saying, praise God, I must be doing something right because people that hate Jesus hate me too. I tell you, what has destroyed our world is a bunch of Christians that want everybody to accept them. We're not trying to get accepted by the world. We're trying to reach the world with the gospel. He says in chapter 16, verse 1, look what Jesus says to him. These things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended. He said, I'm telling you this in advance when people start hating you that you won't quit. Preacher, I trusted the Lord and I'm trying to go to church and live for God. And I went to work and man, they just got all over me and I just don't know what to do. Just don't be offended. Just keep living for God. Get rhinoceros hide. That's what you need. Every Christian needs to grow rhinoceros hide in this generation.
Right. Amen.
I mean, if you have that kind of hide, no matter what they say, what they do. I mean, it'd be like you trying to run up to a rhinoceros, amen, with a, you know, with a little thimble and sticking it. You're not going to hurt the rhinoceros. He's got to hide for it. Hey, Christian, you need to get to, don't get so offended. Look, I've watched this in Christian circles. I'm just sort of meddling now. Y'all having a good time in church? I'm trying to preach a passage. But I've watched this all my life in church. Christians get offended at other Christians. Look, if we get offended at each other because somebody didn't say hi the right way, what's going to happen when somebody out there cusses a blue streak in your face and hates your kids and call you into DHS? We got to grow some tough hide. If these disciples would have went into the book of Acts with weak hides, the world and the devil just chewed them up and we would have never got the gospel.
Right.
He said, don't be offended. Don't be offended when you get mistreated or abused. What did they do to Jesus Christ? Am I better than Jesus Christ? They've not nailed me to a tree yet. I'm doing all right. Well, they hate me and they said this on Twitter about me or on Facebook. Who cares? Expect the hatred. Well, I'm just trying to be nice to everybody. I think Jesus did too, and what happened to him? Do I think that I deserve less or better treatment than my Lord had? He said in verse 2 of chapter 16, would you look at it? They shall put you out of the synagogue. They're going to kick you out of church. Yea, the time cometh, he says, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. Now, we already saw this in John 9:22, John 12:42. They were kicking people out of the synagogue right and left that believed on the Lord. He says they're going to remove you from their religion. Luke 6:22 says, look, if you'll live for God, if you'll stay true to God, they will separate you from their company. You know, we believe in separation. The Bible says, come out from among them, be ye separate, say the Lord. But this is the truth. Listen, Christian, this is the truth. If you'll just love Jesus Christ and love the Bible and live in accordance with the Bible, the world won't want to be around you. They'll separate you from their company. And I'll say this, if people that don't love the Bible and love God and aren't committed to God, if they're comfortable around you, there's something wrong with your lifestyle. Because there's something about worldly people that don't want to be around spiritual people. Our young people are going to go to camp in a couple weeks. This is what happens. You can take hundreds of young people from all over the country, different churches, never met each other, and they'll come to one place, and this happens every time. The young people that don't give a flip about God all get together in about a day. And they're all having a great time. It's just like a magnet. They just, shoo. They don't even know where the church is. But they all get together. And those young people that love the Lord, and they're trying to get something out of the preaching, something out of camp, trying to find some help from God, they get together too. And let me ask you, who are you together with? Who are you together with? That Bible says they'll hate you and they'll kick you out of the synagogue. And even the people that kill you will think he doeth God a service. You say, who would think that? Muslims think that. Should I say it? It's not politically correct. But the Roman Catholic Church believed that for a long time. They killed the forefathers of what we believe. They would chain them up with chains and throw them in the ocean and see if they could swim. Killed them. It's called the Inquisition. Just wipe people that believed the Bible and weren't Catholic. Just wiped them out. And they did it in God's name. And they went over there in the Crusades and just killed people. You know, people today hate Christianity because they're blaming we who believe the Bible for all that stuff that happened in the Crusades. Let me give you a little bit of information. Baptist people never went on a crusade and killed anybody.
Right.
That ain't Baptist people. That's Catholic people. Yep. Baptist people didn't kill anybody. We were on the killing end. We were the ones that were being thrown in jail and persecuted. Check your history. But he says, when all this happens to you, don't get offended. Well, preacher, they're mad at me and they're mean to me. Get over it. Love Jesus, man. There are no nails in your hands. Live for God. Serve. You'll be glad you did when you meet the Lord. The world hates the disciples of Jesus Christ. Don't be shocked. They do all this to us, not because of us, but because of Him. The Bible said in Hebrews 11, all those servants of God that they persecuted and killed, he said the world was not worthy of them. He took Jeremiah and threw him in jail, starving to death just about. They ran Moses off and wanted to stone him. They got so mad at John the Baptist, they took his head off and put it on a platter. How's that for the kindness of the world? Oh, the world doesn't have any love. They just have hatred. The world doesn't have any good things. They just have debauchery and sin and wickedness. There's no love in the world. There's love in Jesus. I'll give you this last verse. I'm done. Verse 19. The Bible says, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you. You know what a church is? A church is a called out assembly. It's a group of people that have been called out of the world. We're not the same as them. Praise God, I'm not going to the same place. I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. I'm not going to hell with the rest of the world. I'm on the narrow way. I'm on that straight, I'm going through that straight gate. I don't have a part in where the majority is going. I'm going to be with my God. The Bible says, if you are of the world was love's own. But I've chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hateth you. Because, last thing, you know why the world hates us? We're not like them. We don't have their values. We don't live by their principles. We don't talk like them. We don't live like them. We don't dress like them. We don't have the practices they have. And if you have all those same things that are in the world, then who do you belong to? Jesus said, I've chosen you out of the world. If you're of the world is like, you're not like them. People hate people that aren't like them. I've had this before. I've had people get... I remember we were in Charleston, South Carolina, we planned that church. And my girls would walk down the street and people would be angry at them because my girls are wearing dresses. And I thought, well, what do you care? Yeah. Why are you mad because my teenage daughter's walking down the sidewalk with a dress on? What do you care? I tell you why. Because it's not like them. And this is what the world's trying to do. The world's trying to get you to be just like them. Just like them. Have the same music they have the same lifestyle they have, watch the same shows, listen to the same words, talk the same talk, have the same values. They want you to be like them. And then Jesus is standing over there and said, I want you to be like me. Who you belong to? You belong to them or do you belong to me? If you were of the world was love. I'm not filled with hate. I'm filled with the love of God, but I know where the hate is. It's out there. I don't want to be a part of all that hatred of the truth. I want to bring them the light of the gospel.